bu bölümde Sayın Ineke van Dijk profesyoneller arasında işbirliği konulu bir konuşma yapacak. Kendisini mikrofona davet ediyoruz.
Ladies and gentlemen, this conference is a very good example of cooperation. Teachers, educational psychologists, ophthalmologists, policymakers, managers, delegates of blind unions are exchanging knowledge and discussing their opinions. This is a starting point for cooperation in actual practice. I thank the organizers for planning me at the end of this day, because at the end of the day you are sure the audience is interested in the topic, and the topic is cooperation. These days I heard a lot about multidisciplinary cooperation and the team spirit. And in this lecture I will elaborate on professional development and professional cooperation. I will demonstrate the quality of interdisciplinary cooperation. I will show the opportunities from different perspectives. I will do it from the perspective of the client, the parent and the child. I will do it from the perspective of the professional, and I will do it from the professional, from the perspective of the organizations. I will speak about this subject in the context of some historical milestones in the Netherlands, and I do it in the context of the needs of the child and the parents and professional differentiation. But let me first introduce myself. I'm a special psychologist by profession, and for many years I worked in special education, in rehabilitation and early intervention. For years I was a teacher for special education, for teacher training. And nowadays I'm the head of the Research and Development Center at Theophan. I will talk from a two-century history of special education only about some developments in the last 30 years in the Netherlands. And I think I can be very shortly, because you heard already this afternoon. There will be some similarities too, and some differences from developments in other West European countries. About 30 years ago, we realized that education in special schools and boarding houses were not well adjusted to the emotional needs of the children and to the needs of the parents and the families. In particular, special education was not adapted to the needs of low-vision children. In the 60s, separate schools for partially sighted pupils were founded. Here, children could follow an educational program adapted to their visual capabilities. Attention was paid to optimal visual development and use of low vision aids. In the 70s, it was the birth of mainstream. Guidance and support of children in regular school system was started off. Integrated education of partially sighted children was very successful. itinerant teachers were assisted by a staff consisting of an ophthalmologist, a social worker, and an educational psychologist. At that time, early intervention had matured into an adequate system which met the needs of parents in bringing up their young child. That team consisted of a home visitor, a social worker, and a psychologist. Because of early intervention, children were better prepared to dealing with a regular school system in the neighborhood. In the 80s, integrated education was organized for blind children as well. And at that time, early intervention, home and school intervention was granted a legal basis. A reorganization of the care system for blind and visually impaired of all ages took place. Regional centers for support in education and rehabilitation were founded. In the 90s, the separate schools for blind and the partially sighted were hindered in their educational organization. This was caused by the very small number of children visiting special school. From now on, the organizational division between schools for the blind and schools for the partially sighted was abandoned, and an integrated special school system for the visually impaired was founded. This integrated school had to meet all different educational needs of blind and partially sighted pupils in special or regular school. The special school was a resource center. In the meantime, a lot of expertise was developed to meet the special needs of children and parents. At this time, a close cooperation existed between the services of the healthcare system and the educational system. He was talking about it. At present, we are confronted with the challenge to develop a flexible system by means of which we can afford to offer optimal expertise to parents, to children, to the family system, to the regular school system, and to other institutions caring for visually impaired. And now I'm thinking of rehabilitation centers, centers for mentally retarded, and so on. If special education has to be adjusted to the individual needs of each child in its educational context, professionals have to develop interdisciplinary and interinstitutional ways of cooperation. This is what is the transition process means, a change towards a client-oriented attitude of our services targeted at our client needs. Below, I will elaborate on the development of expertise and professional differentiation, but I must be consistent and I have to start with the needs and the questions of parents and children. Parents will first of all try to solve their problems in their own family setting. The support from their own environment system is crucial. In case of visual impairments, very important is timely detection, diagnosis, and subsequent referral for treatment. Medical treatment can prevent blindness or amblyopia, but medical treatment cannot solve developmental or psychosocial problems. Therefore, the ophthalmologist in hospital has to be informed about the needs, the developmental needs of the child. Only when this professional is well informed about and convinced of the child's needs, he will refer to and cooperate with the care or educational system. Visual impairment can be a risk for the development of the child. Its parents need information about the facts and the prognosis of the impairment. They want to know the consequences for the development and the educational needs for the child. Parents and later on the child's teacher want to be informed about how to treat the child to optimize its development. This implies adapting their communication and the environment to the perceptual capabilities of the child. Parents have a lot of questions. Could some kind of surgery improve our child's vision? How and what can I tell my relatives? How can my child learn to be independent? Why doesn't he crawl? Why is it so difficult to make him to play? Can he read print, or does he have to read Braille? Is he perhaps mentally retarded as well? Will visual training do anything for the better? Why are glasses of no help? Questions about the future adult life could be, for what job can our child be trained? Will he marry and have children? Questions come and go during development, and parents will want to be informed about these subjects more than once. To listen to and to discuss these questions with the parents needs a lot of empathy. But a lot of expertise is required to answer the questions about this particular child, based on professional information and advice and a sound educational plan. Parents can make their own decisions. Now I want to go on to professional development. Presently, for answering the questions and meeting the needs of both parents and child, many professional disciplines are involved in assessment and intervention. I will review some of these professional disciplines that play a role. Many of medical specialists have to cooperate on diagnosis. When medical specialists such as pediatricians, geneticists, ophthalmologists, or psychiatrists work together, rare syndromes can be identified. In special school and later in times in early education, a staff of specialists was gradually developed. First, the ophthalmologist. The ophthalmologist is a well-known professional in special education. In the beginning, his role was rather small. I call it the gatekeeping role. Ophthalmologist stated that the child suffered from serious visual impairment, and based on that statement, the child could or must, I don't know, entrance special education. Gradually, the ophthalmologist can become a partner of the teacher or of the home visitor. The ophthalmologist will talk to parents and their child and act as a bridge to medical care system in the hospital. The ophthalmologist will afford the medical information to the intervention team. Then the pedagogue or educational psychologist. He or she assesses the child to determine his learning potential or to explain learning problems and to obtain an idea about the impact of the child's visual impairment on its development and to advise parents or teachers. The low vision specialist assesses the visual functions and advises the use of low vision aids. And in Theophane, we have an orthoptist, and she is very well in assessing very young children and multiply impaired. The speech therapist assesses the child's speech development and starts treatment if necessary. The physical therapist advises about how to develop normal posture and gait. And you can go on, orientation and mobility specialist, you have occupational therapists. This situation can be characterized as a multidisciplinary model. There, all the specialists are shared together. Each professional has its own object of assessment, its own professional education, its own ideas about its responsibility. Each has its own scientific body of knowledge, his own professional language, and sometimes his own professional territory. Each profession has its own assessment and intervention tools. This model has been very useful for developing expertise. But these different goals and these different languages might create a problem. The parents are advised from different perspectives and are told what to do from different professional perspectives. It could happen that the parent or the teacher received unasked advice, sometimes mutually exclusive, or even sometimes incomprehensible. I'll give you a typical Dutch example. In Holland, anybody cycles, any child cycles from 2 years old. And a low vision child in Holland wants to cycle as well. The parents ask advice how to handle their child's wish in a safe way. They see the child enjoying cycling in the backyard and are asking how their child can cope with traffic in streets. The ophthalmologist will forbid cycling because of